And one of the things I like to do is often to give a Mother's Day message. I think mothers in our society are not appreciated. So I like when I have opportunity, and it doesn't always work to do so, to give a Mother's Day message. And I remember doing it a number of years ago in Bloomington, and one of the women came up and thanked me that I didn't preach on Proverbs 31. It seemed like every year she would hear a message on Proverbs 31 and she'd go away depressed as she heard the standard for what an ideal wife was like and all these things. And so I since then I've sort of stayed away from that passage, although I will mention it in the message, but only briefly. I want to focus today on honoring mothers, and so we'll look first at Exodus. It's addressed both to fathers and mothers, but my focus will be upon the mothers. It's the fifth commandment, a very simple verse, verse 12 of Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then to follow up, just to go on to the next chapter, as he given the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, the next few chapters go and explain the meaning and bring out some of the implications of what's there. And so, as we read down in verses 15 to 17, we have a couple of applications of this commandment. And they're very striking. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Whoever steals a man, kidnaps him, and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Then going to the New Testament, to John, chapter 19, we'll be reading verses 23 to 27. Jesus is on the cross. He's going through an extremely difficult, painful physical ordeal. We have recorded about seven words or sayings that he says on the cross, and we'll be looking briefly at one of them. And so the context beginning with verse 23, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also tunic. But his tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And then Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at the first three verses of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. Here's a sermon outline in the bulletin. Well, this week, as we were leading up to Mother's Day, whether deliberately or not, we had the president make a very profound announcement. He publicly endorsed the idea of same-sex marriage. He was the first president living or dead to do so. And as you might respect, there are various responses to that. I just wonder about the timing. It seems to be one of a series of indications that not only have we lost our moral compass as a nation, but that we've forgotten the God who created us, how He created us, and how we're to live. We've forgotten some very simple truths about marriage and family and what's involved in it. It breaks my heart, as I'm sure it must break God's heart, to see so much misunderstanding about marriage, especially on this occasion about motherhood. What's involved in being a mother? It's a society that's searching for what it means to be a mother. And in the process, I dare say that the respect and honor that mothers should be receiving has been lost. It used to be that mothers were held in high regard, you know, with apple pie and motherhood. But not so anymore. I heard of a pastor going into a coffee shop recently in Massachusetts, and as he was there doing some studying and reading, and two women came in and sat by him, and they began talking, and as Mother's Day was going to happen shortly, they were talking about what they were going to do for their mothers, and the first was from a fairly normal family, and she talked about how on Sunday she was going to go over to her mother and see her, and then she would go to the grandmother on the one side and the grandmother on the other side and have cards for them and gifts and how she was looking forward to it. But the second young woman, her friend, sighed and began to explain her dilemma about Mother's Day. It seemed that fairly young, her parents had gotten married, and a year into the marriage, she was born, but that marriage didn't last very long. And so she had her biological mother, who she really wasn't raised by, and of course, each one of her parents had grandmothers who were still alive that she continued to see and seemed to be interested in her. And shortly thereafter, her father remarried. And so she had another mother, a stepmother. And her father and the stepmother had a couple of children, and they were living together as a family. But, of course, they came along and got a divorce as well. And her father married again another time, a third time, so she had a second stepmother. Now her third mother, who's raised with her for a time, and of course they get divorced. And each one of these stepmothers had one living mother as well, and so you have now three mothers and four grandmothers. And her biological mother through time marries again and then divorces and then finally decides that she's had enough with men and decides she's going to take up with a woman. And this is Massachusetts, so she can actually marry. marries a woman in Massachusetts. And that becomes basically a fourth mother to her. Of course, that marriage ends in divorce a couple of years later, as well as all the others. And so she's sitting there, she's talking to her friend, about her the new normal. What seems to be normal for her and a lot of her friends. As she thinks about the women in her life, the mothers in her life, she feels like she's got eight of them. That in some way have functions, have some way of continued contact with her. But as she continues to talk, it's clear that none of the eight had been nurturing and caring. She has gotten resentful. She doesn't have any respect for any of the eight women in her life. She's in deep despair, ready really to give up on life. And she's complaining to her friend, why should I go out of my way to show some kindness to these ones who are supposedly my mother, but each one of them cast me off as soon as it was inconvenient. They left for something else to please themselves. She didn't have any understanding of what true motherhood's involved in. And in that situation, why not just give yourself to your job, to your career, and hope to find happiness there? And unfortunately, that confused thinking by that young woman is becoming more and more the norm in our day. And it's good then for us to come back and to think about mothers, to think about the value of mothers, to appreciate what they have done, and more specifically today, how we should honor them. The society is becoming more and more confused. We need to understand the biblical view of marriage. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but especially then the importance of mothers and honoring mothers who are truly mothers. And so the first part is God commands you to honor your mother. We saw that in the fifth commandment in Exodus 20. To honor your parents. And today we just want to focus on mothers, so fathers are to be included in that. And although it's talking to the children of Israel, the people of God, it's really a rule that applies to every situation, to every group of people. It's a principle that applies to all societies. You're to honor your mother. You're to treat her with dignity and respect, to value her, to value your contribution. And why is that? And perhaps you're thinking, well, my mother has been far from ideal. She was not the best caregiver growing up. She's actually asked me sometimes to do something illegal or immoral. How can I honor her? Well, for no other reason than the fact that she gave birth. One thing I know with certainty is not a single one of us would be here if we didn't have a mother. A mother who chose to carry you and me in the womb, to go through the labor pains, to go through the difficulties of pregnancy. That meant sacrifice for her. And so we're to honor her for what she has done for us. And do you understand the significance of where this fifth commandment is placed in the Ten Commandments? You have the first table law, which deals with our responsibility toward God, and it comes first, and they're the first four, which we would expect. And then we come to the second tablet. How we're to deal with one another. How we're to live in society. What makes for an orderly society. And the very first thing that is mentioned, before not stealing from one another, before not committing adultery with one another, before not murdering one another, the very first thing put at the head of the list is honoring a parent. It's put first. And why? Because God knows the importance. Family unit is the foundation for society. Without solid families, there cannot be any peace and harmony in society. The building of a society. And that's why the debate about marriage is so disturbing. Once we don't understand that, once we lose that as a society, once we don't have mothers and fathers that are caring and nurturing and bringing up children to be well-adjusted and fruitful members of society, the society is going to fall apart. It can't do anything else. And the key, the foundation, the glue, is the mother and her work and what she does on behalf of her family. And so the mother needs to be there to care for, to nurture. And that work of caring for or nurturing needs to be respected, needs to be honored. And how far have we come? When a public official can criticize Mrs. Romney for never having worked a day in her life. Because all she did was care for five children. How wrong is that? How misguided is that? How detrimental to healthy society, to strong families. When words and attitudes slip out that devalues motherhood, we need to see it just the opposite. We need to honor mothers. We need to tell them and reaffirm them again and again, what you've done is noble, great, fantastic. You're the glue that makes society work, that makes families work. What are some practical ways of doing that? Well, if you go second to Ephesians 6:1, that's very simple. For the children. Children, obey your parents. Children, you don't obey your mom. If you have a piece of paper and draw something, draw a picture of you obeying your mom. Whatever it is, whatever she tells you. You know, it might be to pick up your toys. It might be to wash your hands before you eat. You have to do that. And how are you to do it? You have to do it right away. You do it with the right spirit. You have to do it joyfully. Without talking back. And to those who are getting to be teenagers, it includes those who are in their teen years as well. You know, it says you're obeying the Lord, and so in those rare instances, if it happened to be the case where your mom asks you to do something that is wrong, you know, says, you know, somebody calls and asks your mom and says, you know, tell them I'm not here, and you say, well, I can't do that, that's lying. You need to obey God and not do what is right. But the whole tenor of your life is to obey, is wanting to obey. And so it should be that as you cheerfully obey, as you cheerfully do what your parents say and what your mom says to you to do every day, that those times when you would have to say, I can't, if that ever happens, would cause a warning to sign go off in your mind. What am I asking my child to do? Now listen. And so, children, you're to honor, and you're to obey. You're to do what their parents tell you to do. That's a very foundational thing. And even though some of us are older and married, and still to be honoring those parents. So that isn't that they carry out and have to ask for permission to do everything. But it's seeking to still honor them, even when we're older. Well, second point to understand is how important it is to honor your parents and to honor your mother. Well, we can see it both in a positive and negative sense, the importance. The first is a positive. It's a promise that's there repeated in Ephesians 6:2, and Paul, as he writes, tells us this is the first commandment with a promise. Most of the commandments are negative, don't do this, and they carry implicit warnings. If you do this, if you commit murder, if you cheat, if you steal, you're going to be found guilty and you're going to be punished. But this one is a positive commandment that has a blessing attached to it. That you'll live long, that you'll prosper. It's the idea that God will see your attitude, the attitude that you have toward your parents, and will reward it. It's something that will please Him. That He delights when you delight in honoring your parents. And so, what will the result be? When children are growing up and honoring and obeying their parents, the family will be at peace. There's going to be harmony. The children will grow up with right attitudes or authority. The home will be a place of refuge. In the world, we may have trouble and turmoil, difficulties and setbacks. But the home will be a place of security, a safe place of safety, a place of love. In the contrast, we saw in Exodus 21 a couple of instances where a child doesn't honor the parents. And here, verse 15 talks about striking, hitting, being angry at your parents. And then verse 17, of cursing. And that's sort of a general word of speaking evil, whatever way it is. And Jesus uses this verse in the New Testament. He talks about the religious leaders and how they spoke evil by just saying, I've dedicated this stuff to God, and I can't use it to help my parents. He refers back to this verse. It's a form of speaking evil to your parents. And so it has a wider meaning than just pronouncing a curse upon them, but anything that would be dishonoring, words that should be disrespectful. Even if they're done in Jesus' day in a pious sort of manner. And what I want us to notice is what's the punishment that's called for these violations. When a child does not honor her parents or his parents in this way. Verse 15. That child shall be put to death. Verse 17, that person shall be put to death. Now, as far as we can tell, we don't know that this was ever done. But it's saying to us, this is the type of penalty that belongs to this sort of action. This is a capital offense. This is the worst kind of sin in the eyes of God. It's serious sin. It's heinous sin. You know, there's certain things where if you stole, you repay back several times. And that's bad. But here is something where the penalty is death. It's saying to it, when we disrespect our parents, when we dishonor them, it's a serious, serious sin. Is that the way people think about it? Because we have what's been described as a decline of deference. It used to be that you'd pay deference to those who are older and deference to parents. What do we see in the popular media today, popular portrayals of parents? they're old-fashioned, they're hopelessly out of date, they're viewed with open scorn and contempt, they're seen as irrelevant to life. As Christians, we need to fight against that sort of thinking. We need to cultivate a spirit of honoring and of obeying parents, of being giving praise and thankfulness. To be able to say to the mothers, it's a great task you've given yourself to. And you may not have been perfect as a mother, but you've done nobly. You've done well. You've tried your best. You've brought children into the world, and you've tried to raise them in the right way. And how we ought to be quick to praise them, quick to honor them, to realize the importance of what they've done. And third, what are some biblical examples of honoring a mother? Let me refer to three. You could go through scriptures, but three stand out. First is in Proverbs 31:28. And it's a passage about mothers. And I know oftentimes you think, well, who's able to do that? But it's really just saying, here's a woman who cares and takes care of her family. And what's the response? Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. A mother that sets about to do her work is to be praised. As she cares, as she's involved in the life of her family, she is worthy of praise. I ask your husbands, how often do you praise and thank your wife? I suspect there are many things that are done each day that you don't even think about. They're setting a meal, dinner for you. They're cleaning the house or washing the clothes or taking care of the children. And it can be a thankless job. But it shouldn't be in a Christian home. Abundant praise should be on your lips. And boys and girls, you too need to be thankful for your mother. When she helps you with something, when she does something for you, do you say thank you? You need to be saying that often. Well, a second situation is of honoring a mother is the case of Ruth. And I won't go through the whole story, but you know the story, I hope, of Naomi, who went out from Israel with her husband and two sons, and they went to Moab, and her husband died, and her sons married, and they both died. And at that point, she was ready to change her name to Mara, which means bitter. And you can think of a woman in that situation, her husband and her sons died, of becoming very bitter at the situation. And it's in all likelihood that she wasn't a very pleasant woman to live with, having encountered that bitterness. And she decides to go back to Israel and encourages her daughter-in-law to stay in Moab. And one, Orpah does, but the other, Ruth, does not. And even though it's only by marriage that this woman is her mother. She honors her. She stays with her. She goes in the fields and gleans so they would have food to eat when they return back to Israel. And God blesses her. It was not an easy situation for Ruth to go with this woman who's had so much bitterness in her life, to go to a land that was not her own, to a people who were not her own. But God blesses her for that. And eventually she has her children and grandchildren. She was faithful in honoring Naomi, Mara, bitter. And the third example of honoring parents is that of Jesus, of his mother, in John 19. He's dying on the cross. It's hard for him even to speak. It's, in all likelihood, Joseph is dead. We don't hear him when Jesus is ministering, ever mentioned after age 12. And as the oldest in the family, he would have had a special responsibility to care for the mother, who is now widowed. And what does he do? He commissions the Apostle John to care for his mother, which John does. Even as he was dying, he was looking out for his mother and her needs and making sure that she was cared for. And so one of the ways that we honor our parents, and especially honor our mothers, is by caring for them when they're elderly. And it will mean sacrifice. It may mean some financial loss. It may mean giving up time. But we see that caring for a mother. Now notice, Jesus didn't do so by himself. He appointed someone else. So it doesn't mean that it always has to be that you have to take that person into your home. But it does mean that you honor them and care for them and make sure that they're cared for. And that honoring does not diminish with age. And that can be hard to do. Because I've had several people tell me, you know, do I keep continuing to go and visit my mother? Because I know 10 minutes after I'm there and leave, she won't remember that I've even visited her. Her memory is such that she no longer remembers those things. Nevertheless, they're called to do so out of love for God and what He's commanded to honor that mother, even if she will not remember the visit. It doesn't matter if she's been a Proverbs 31 woman or maybe far from ideal. You to honor her. Well, you might be thinking, well, for the women, well, I've never done that. I've never really lived up to my role as a wife and mother. Or maybe as a child, you're thinking, well, I brought tremendous grief to my mother as I was growing up. Her husband, I've not honored my wife, the mother of my children, the way I should. But the solution is always the cross. And it's true. For all of us, we've not acted the way that we should. And we saw in Exodus 21, really, probably all of us have done and said something that causes us to be worthy of death. We fought or argued or ridiculed or been insolent or whatever it is toward our mothers. Or maybe the mothers haven't measured up. But how thankful we should be that Christ died for us. Even in this area where we don't live up to the standards of what it means to be a mother, what it means to be honoring our mother the way in which we should. That through Christ, we have forgiveness. And we can continue on, we can learn, we can endeavor to do better. Endeavor to be a better mother, endeavor to be a more faithful husband or children. By God's help, to honor our mothers and respect them the way in which we should. In a world that's growing more and more confused about marriage, about the role of fathers and mothers, what a godly wife does, what a godly woman does as a mother, what an opportunity it is to to go back to the foundations, to teach and show by example what true motherhood is, what a noble calling it is, and how we respect it as a church. So boys and girls, the application today for you is seek to honor and obey your mom. When she tells you to do something, it's very simple. Do it. Do it without talking back. Do it with a happy spirit. Be cooperative. Obey quickly. And husbands, praise your wife. Praise the mother of your children. Look for ways that you might encourage her in that role and that responsibility. To value it, to let her know that it's valuable in your sight. She won't get it from society, but hopefully she'll get it from the church. And she'll get it from her family. That this is important. And what she's given her life for is important to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the way in which you've created us to be part of families, to have a father and a mother. And we do give thanks for mothers today, each one of our mothers. Some may have been exemplary, and some may have been short of that. And yet, it's through them that you have brought us into this world and have developed us that we're who we are. Largely as a result of those mothers. It was not by accident or by chance that you gave us those specific mothers. Help us to appreciate that and then to give due honor to our mothers. For some, it's a memory of them as they're now dead. For some, it's as they are elder and need our care and need our help. For some, it's maybe as they're growing up, just a response of obeying and doing what they tell us without grumbling or complaining. Help us to value mothers and the contribution they make to our families and to our society. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.